I'm back, guys! I'm super excited to be back. Like, proper excited. I know that I promised that I was going to do a podcast every week, but it has been proven so difficult. You know, like, apologies in advance. But when you are a single parent and you have your daughter every other week and then you work on your week off, it's proper hard. You know what I mean? Like, I've been through the gutter. I mean, I still love it, but it's been quite intense, you know? And my daughter is as intense, if not more intense than I. So you can imagine the chaos that it is. So, yeah, it's been proven quite difficult to actually do a podcast every week. I'll try my best to keep up, but I'm happy to be back. Lots of things to tell you. I have two cases that I want to bang on about it. And I think we're just going to go straight to the subject because people that know me, I don't faff really. I'm not a faffer. So let's go straight to the subject. Again, don't forget that I'm not going to mention any names and anything is supposed to be super anonymous because obviously I'm not allowed to share any data, okay? I'm regulated by the GDPR and I'm not allowed to share any data. However, I can obviously share an experience because you would never know who was it. And obviously, bear in mind that the whole thing that I'm gonna tell about it, the cases that I tell, you would never be able to identify who is the owner or who is the animal, okay? Just wanna let that straight. But yeah, let's go straight to the subject. I had a C-section 3-4 weeks ago. Was not a C-section. Someone called the practice saying that they wanted to have a C-section, their dog was in labor, and they wanted me to perform a C-section. I said, absolutely fine, come down, just so you know, it's going to be X amount of money, needs to be paid up front, and I'm happy to see your dog. And this person basically tells me, I only have £300. And I said, okay. £300, that's not gonna take you that far, but I mean, I'm still happy to assess the dog. However, you're not gonna be able to cover the C-section cost. This person tries to persuade me to do the C-section and just pay the £300, and then she would pay the rest of, after the surgery is done. And unfortunately, I need to explain, like, listen, I'm really sorry, that's not going to be possible. And I will explain right now why is it not going to be possible. When this C-section and breathing wave started around COVID time, everyone started breeding dogs. And this is nothing against breeders. I don't have anything against breeders. What I have against is people that call themselves breeders, not knowing what they are doing and pushing the limits every day. That's what I have against it. Nothing against normal, genuine breeders, because at the end of the day, it is a profession. And if there was no breeders in this world, you guys would not have dogs. So let's not hate the breeders, but let's obviously be conscious and make sure that we do things properly, okay? Now, due to COVID, you can already feel my voice getting like, you know, like, Anyway, due to COVID, everyone started breeding dogs. Like, there was no tomorrow. Like, there was reports that just in London, there was an influx of 10 million dogs just in a space of 1 year or something like that, or 10 million puppies. That is just crazy. I got to a point where I was doing C-sections in one of the practices that I work for several practices, and I was doing around 10 cesareans a day, and a night, and if you count 10 cesareans a night with an average of 6 puppies per liter, or per dog, 10 times 60, that's 60 dogs, a night. If I work 7, 6 times 7 is, six times seven is 42 dogs a week. 42 times 4, which is in 1 month, that's 168 dogs a month, just in the place, in one of the places that I work. Do you understand? 168 puppies every month, because this is how crazy lockdown made things go. Anyway, so from then, because obviously people were getting less money, and obviously there was less money available, and people were breeding these dogs, we had a lot of people that said to us, oh, we will pay you after the service done. And obviously, when you go to the vets, has always been a bit of, okay, we do the service, you pay after. That was normal. But after lockdown, that stopped being normal. And I'll tell you why, because people stopped paying.
And at the end of the day, when you do a service and then the person comes and collects the dog and says, I'm really sorry, I don't have money, what are you going to do? You're not going to retain the dog or the cat because you are, first of all, you are not allowed to retain. I'm not physically allowed to retain a dog or a cat inside of the practice, even if I do a service and the person doesn't want to pay. So it was common sense and common knowledge that the veterinary practices started, some of them, prepaying the service, so you would have to pay up front or at least take 50% up front. Now, majority of the practices where I work, they all say the same. During the night time, because obviously people are rushing on adrenaline and emotions, and usually it's like quite emotional and stressing, let's put it this way, we usually set up that majority of practices that I work, we prepay everything, or people should prepay everything. It, of course, it's just an estimate, so if I'm going to do a surgery, I will price that surgery, the person would have to prepay the price of surgery, and then obviously, if something goes on top, that's fine, but at least the person would have paid the majority of the bulk of the surgery, if this makes sense. Returning to my history, so this guy basically says that he only has £300, he doesn't have any more money, which is fine. I get it. So I try to explain that, unfortunately, due to lockdown, due to the fact that the debt has gone up massively, I'm not allowed to do that. And instead of trying to kind of listen what I was saying, because at this point I'm not angry. I cannot blame the guy for not having money. I mean, I think it's a bit irresponsible to breed a dog when you don't have money. But listen, shit happens. And sometimes people find themselves in situations that they were not counting, which is fine. There's other options. Options like either cheaper vets, or you go to charities, or sometimes you can ask help for the PDSA, which is a private charity. You can ask help to Celia Hammond, RSPCA. There's a few options out there. And I don't want to scare anyone, but worst case scenario, if that person cannot get help from anyone, let's say that the charities are all busy, let's say that no one wants to help this person, of course, the dog cannot be left with puppies inside. And I'm going to be honest with you, euthanasia is an option. It's not what you want to hear. I'm pretty sure it's not what you expect to hear. But at the end of the day, we don't work for free. I don't work for free. And I'm sure you guys don't work for free. Of course, you can do voluntary work and stuff, but that's different. Do you know what I mean? Like, veterinary business is a private business. And at the end of the day, people need to earn their money. Anyway, so I explained to this guy that obviously there's cheaper surgeries, there's the cheaper charities, and which he could apply. He's adamant that he wants to come here. He's adamant that he wants to come here. He had the cesarean with me before, and he liked the service. He wants to come here, which is fine, and I respect that. But I'm trying to explain that it's not possible. And in the middle, he starts becoming aggressive and starts pulling cards like, you only care about the money, you don't care about the animals, you prefer to let my dog die then instead of helping my dog. And this is when I put my foot down. And again, I'm not a rude vet, I promise I'm not a rude vet. But I'm frontal and I'm direct. And if you give me shit, you cannot expect to not have shit back. Of course, the client has always the right, or sort of, and, well, not always, but you know what I mean. The client should be treated with respect. But when my nurse has been shouted by this guy, I'm being shouted by this guy, accused of wanting to let his dog die, and accused of not caring about animals, and he cannot understand that there is a service and there is protocols in practice, you kind of lose a bit of the respect for this person. Do you know what I mean? Like, at this moment, I'm already angry. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've lost the respect for this person. From the moment that he starts shouting and insulting us, you are out of the game, mate. Do you know what I mean? Like, don't even try. Because first of all, I feel sorry for his dog. Of course, I would be inhumane if I wouldn't feel sorry. But at the end of the day, we don't work for free. So I say in a polite way, again, you have several other options that you can try. Other charities, other cheaper vets. If you don't want... yes, unfortunately, euthanasia is an option. This guy basically obviously doesn't come and ends up going to another place. Then obviously that place called us and then said that he also didn't have the money for that cheaper place. And we don't know what happened. Then I had a call from the RSPCA the day after, because obviously this is now a welfare case. A dog that is pregnant that cannot pass the puppies, The dog will eventually die if the puppies are not removed. Surely this makes sense. If the puppy dies, he gets rotten, creates a focus of infection, the dog gets what we call a pyometra, the dog will die. That is just the way it is. Of course, it's sad, but again, we don't work for free. This is important that you guys understand. I want to help people, I want to help the dogs, but I'm not gonna work for free, and I don't work for free. This is important that you guys understand. And there is this misconception out there that vets that ask money for the service, they just care about the money and they don't care about the vets, which obviously is absolutely ludicrous. It's just ridiculous. Anyway, so basically, I don't know what happened to the dog. The RSPCA called, and why was I angry, and what's the... Oh, by the way, and then I got a few reviews, he basically went on several websites, Google and stuff, and he left a few reviews saying, Thomas lets the dog dies, and Thomas doesn't want to help people, and which, again, not helping. First of all, it's a bunch of bullshit, and second, at the end of the day, it's not like I've refused to treat his dog. I've just offered other options that obviously he didn't want. And let's be honest, if you only have £300 or £200, whatever, and he cannot cover the cost of the surgery, what happens for the future? Do you know what I mean? Like, come on, we need to be practical on this. Having a dog is a responsibility. You need to have the funds to feed the dog, to treat the dog, and to count with possible emergencies that the dog might have. I mean, a few days ago, I don't know if you guys remember, I had a dog that was run over by a train. That lady, she was struggling with money. Do you know the first thing that she said to me? I will get an emergency loan if possible. She was happy to go over and beyond to save her dog. This guy, the opposite, completely the opposite. Just blaming the vets, blaming the staff, being rude. And of course, he didn't get the help that he wanted. And would the outcome be different if he had been a bit more soft and a bit more comprehensive, and if he had not been rude? Maybe if he said to me, look, I really would like to try to work this out, or, you know what I mean? Like, there's ways of saying things, and I'm always told by my bosses and by everyone that I'm a bit direct and I should really explain things in a different way, but that's not that easy, you know. Like, I blame a bit the barrier language, the language barrier, because in Portugal, where I'm come from, you just say it as it is, and here in England is a bit different because English people are so polite that sometimes I get lost in terms of faffiness, so I just say it as it is. Anyway, what did I want to kind of leave this idea that people shouldn't be rude to the veterinary staff, okay, which is something that happens all the time and has been happening more and more often. Like, there's no respect for the veterinary staff. I mean, at the end of the day, we just want to help. We're not here to treat you badly. We are here to try to do the best for your dog or cat or animal, and we deserve a bit of respect. And it's extremely unpleasant when we don't have the respect that we deserve, and we're still accused of just thinking about money and not wanting to help people. That's something that obviously I really wanted to leave it clear. And yeah, this is one of the cases that I just want to touch. The second case that I wanted to touch, another person that came that basically was feeding raw to a dog that just had given birth. The bird had given birth naturally. The dog was absolutely fine, but she was feeding raw to this dog, which was feeding puppies. Now, raw is a bit of a controversial issue, okay? Because I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm against raw, just so you know, I'm gonna put it out there, I am against raw. However, I have really good colleagues and even better vets than I that believe that raw is the way. And raw has advantages and disadvantages, okay? It is what it is. There's no point of explaining. I mean, raw would give me hours and hours to talk about it. But the point here is this. You have a pregnant dog, okay? Now, let's put this in context with a human. For you women that are out there and are listening to me, if you have been a mom, are you even able to eat eggs? I mean, I'm not even talking about raw, because it would not cross your mind to eat raw when you're pregnant. Why? Because if you get an infection, what's going to happen? The fetus, the baby, is going to get the infection, correct? Yes, correct. So Just so you know, human medicine goes to the point where you are not even allowed to eat eggs. I remember when I was with the mom of my daughter, that she basically gave me a list of what she could eat. And that list was so small that I could not even see. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just a way of saying that pretty much everything is dangerous. Do you know what I mean? Of course, listen, you need to be a bit of balance, of course. But the truth is that humans, it's 1 a.m. in the morning, I'm a little bit... Anyway, humans, they don't eat raw when they are pregnant. So you shouldn't feed your dog raw when he's pregnant. Why? Because if that dog gets an infection by E. coli, by Salmonella, by Clostridium, Campylobacter, which are bacteria that are attracted to the raw foods, what do you think is going to happen to the litter? You have neonates, you have babies, you have puppies or kittens that basically don't have a developed immune system. And of course, with a single bacterial infection, they will just be wiped. Make sense? Why does this is important that I touch this? Because nowadays, internet, I mean, you can Google everything. Listen, I sometimes Google things. Huh? I'm not the only one that doesn't Google. Everyone Googles. I get that. But you also need to ask help from your professional. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I'm always banging on the raw diet. And I see so many people giving raw to pregnant dogs when it's absolutely contraindicated. The other thing that also just drives me insane is when people give milk to their dogs. And we're not talking about the puppies. We're talking about the normal dogs. So I'm going to ask you the same question. If you are a woman and if you have just given birth, is your doctor going to tell you to drink milk? No, you're not. And if you are in the wild, do you see wild animals drinking milk? You don't. Why? Because majority of them, first of all, are lactose intolerant and milk gives them the shits, or excuse my French, diarrhea. So milk is not supposed to be given to dogs or to cats or to cows. You don't give milk to an adult dog or an adult cat or any adult animal. That just doesn't exist. And so many people banging on the milk. Another thing that drives me completely insane is the goat's milk. Have you heard about the goat's milk? How many people do I have coming into the practice saying, oh yeah, I got goat's milk for my puppies. Do you know what I asked them? Can I ask you a question? And they said, yeah, of course. Don't take me wrong. Is your dog a goat? I swear to you. But listen, with no shame whatsoever and not laughing. But incredible. I'm literally speechless. Why would you go out of your way to give goat's milk? I will bang on this because I don't believe that goat's milk is the right thing. And it's not me believing. If you have a dog, you should get dog's milk. If you have a cat, you get cat's milk. The reason why goat's milk exists is because it's the most similar milk to dog's milk that you can find out there in the market. So some people have this idea, again, another idea that comes from God knows where, that goat's milk is the life-saving. All dogs should have goat's milk. No, they shouldn't, because they are not goats. Make sense? I hope I'm being clear on this. I cannot stress how frustrating it is when people come to me with the wrong ideas. And then, well, listen, we are all we are all ignorant about something, but we can learn. And I don't have a go at these people, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't get angry at them, I try to explain. When I get, not angry, but when I get frustrated, is when I explain something and they say, but my friend said to do this, but I read on the internet, just listen to your vet, follow the advice of your vet, and just carry on. Because I can assure you that most people that feed raw and give goat's milk, they will keep giving it, and they will keep doing. Do you know why? Because in my experience, because they have not had any issues with it, so they think it's fine. It's so common to find people that say, oh, I never had issues with this, I never had issues, so it's fine. No, it's not fine. It's not fine because that's not the correct thing to do, and you are taking a risk, a massive risk. Because a litter of 8 or 10 puppies or kittens that gets an infected Salmonella or E. coli or whatever, it's gonna go. I can assure you that it's gonna go. And then what happens? Just because the people didn't want to listen, the vet. Makes sense? It's something that I'm really passionate about. Listen, I take my job really serious, and I'm really passionate about it. So of course, when I try to give my best advice, and I've spent 7 years studying, plus certificates, plus courses, and I'm trying to teach, and people ignore me, it's so frustrating. And I'm listen, it's all a learning process. I'm still learning how to process and how to be a bit more, let's put it this way, a bit more comprehensive, a bit more. Okay, trying to explain people in other words that's not okay. But I'm gonna be honest with you, I struggle. I massively struggle. Because in my mind, it's not normal. Do you know what I mean? Like, that cannot happen. Just so you know, what I advise for a dog that is giving... that let's say that you plan to breed from a dog. This is what I advise. From the moment that you mate your dog, you should start puppy food straight away. So puppy food, from the moment that you mate... Why puppy food? Because puppy food is very rich in calories. It has enough calories for them to obviously kind of build up a body condition to be able to support the pregnancy. And then when they give birth, we advise to give puppy food for the next 2 months. That's it. And then everyone is going to be happy. During lockdown, not so much right now, but during lockdown, I've seen so many dogs that were ready to give birth and their body condition was a 3 out of 6, like, or a 2 out of 6. Actually, sorry, 2 out of 9 and 3 out of 9. We classified 0 out of 9. So this means that they were really, really skinny, really, really bony. Again, if you are a woman and you're gonna give birth, your body condition needs to be good, because otherwise you're not gonna be able to feed the puppies internally, because as you know, the puppies feed from what you eat. And do you know what I mean? Like, does this make sense? And it's just outrageous. Another thing that I would like to mention as well would be the subject of the boiled chicken. A lot of people say to me, I'm feeding my dog boiled chicken because my dog, a pregnant dog, because my dog likes boiled chicken. And I say, listen, that's all very good, but the nutritional value from boiled chicken compared to puppy food is almost zero. And what happens is, if you have already a fussy dog and you give them boiled chicken, he will prefer the boiled chicken and he won't want to touch the puppy food. Do you know what I mean? So there's a few strategies that you need to kind of adapt. I understand that small breed dogs and some dogs can be quite fussy with their food, but you really need to persist with puppy food. Nothing else. Listen, if you tell me that your dog is on a hunger strike and really doesn't eat, I'm gonna be honest with you, I come from Portugal. If a dog doesn't want to eat one day, you leave the food there and you will eat on the second day. And if he doesn't eat on the second day, he will eat on the third day. And this is not me being cruel, this is me wanting the best for the animal. But of course, not everyone wants to see this, and I respect that. But then of course, if you're gonna feed boiled chicken or raw food or anything that is not caloric enough, like puppy food, you cannot expect miracles. Makes sense, surely. I think that's it, really. I think I wanted to touch this. I've lost track of time. I hope I've not offended anyone. And again, I'm not here to. I mean, I know that the name of the podcast is The Grumpy Vet, but at the end of the day, I'm quite a nice person. I mean, if you know me, you know that I'm quite a nice person. I'm just very passionate about my work, okay? And because I have a squeaky voice and I'm Portuguese, sometimes comes a bit across as a rude, or I'm shouting. I don't shout. My mom tells me all the time, Thomas, you shout all the time. I don't. I swear to you, I don't shout. I just have a high-pitched voice. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, everyone has their bits of whatever. So I hope I've cleared everything. There's another issue that I would like to touch, but not for now. It will be for the next podcast. But yeah, these are two things that, please respect your veterinary staff. Please, since you're gonna pay for a consult and you're gonna pay for a service, just listen to their advice. You're not gonna lose anything. And just be normal with the veterinary staff, I would say. It's a pleasure, as always, to do a podcast. I really enjoy them. I wish I could have someone to talk about it, but every time that I ask someone, could you please do a podcast with me? Oh no, I'm really ashamed. I was just like, people are just ridiculous, really. I mean, if you are out there and you want to do a podcast with me, please DM me. I would love to have a podcast with you. I mean, I would love to have, I know that I speak a lot, but I would love to have someone that I could speak with. I don't have, no one wants to speak with me. The last person that I wanted to speak with, she said to me, oh, maybe, but my name would be Penelope. Seriously, Penelope, come on. I'm joking. Anyway, I hope you guys have a good night, and we stay here. Bye-bye.